With your latest news, I'm April Cummings. Big news out of Parliament tonight.
Following a recent meeting of the Cabinet, it was collectively decided that the Cayman Islands government will begin taking the necessary steps to exit the project agreement with the Dorrit-led consortium in respect to the ISWIMS project in an effort to find a more affordable option for our country.
That is Minister for Sustainability and Resiliency, the Honourable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes, who told the House the project to address the many issues at the Georgetown landfill was just too expensive. One of the issues of the Integrated Solid Waste Management Project, known as ISWIMS, was the waste-to-energy component, where waste would be converted to energy and then sold.
The government would enter into a contract to sell energy, and the only client to buy the energy, i.e. CUC, had not yet signed the agreement. So we'd be entering into the agreement to build a waste-to-energy facility with no confirmed power purchase agreement.
But that was not the only reason. The minister says the cost of the project was too high and would violate the principles of responsible management of government funds.
The current administration could not, in good conscience, continue forward with a deal that would effectively saddle current and future generations with a project that would put undue financial strain and unacceptable levels of risk upon these islands. We need a solid waste management solution that is financially, environmentally, and socially sustainable.
Minister Wilkes told MPs the agreement to facilitate the closure of the Georgetown landfill and remediation is actually separate from the ISWIMS project, and that will continue regardless of its status. Radio Cayman did reach out to the DART organization for comment, and we were advised they were aware of the announcement made in Parliament today, but under the project agreement, were not permitted to issue public comment without prior approval of the Cayman Islands government. They said they're seeking clarification before commenting further. The reaction in Parliament was mixed today. Bodentown West Independent Member of Parliament, Chris Saunders.
I just want to thank the government for making such a bold decision. I fully support it.
Given what we have learned, what has led the government to conclude that doing a different procurement for the same or greater outcomes will be cheaper, but cost less?
I have heard from the time we were there 4 years ago that the current tipping site had a 2 to 5 year lifespan. I don't buy that. I look at it every day. And 26,000 tons of stink is being poured into the air there every day.
You also heard there from former Premier and Newlands MP Wayne Panton asking about the costs, with Deputy Leader of the Progressives' opposition Joey Hugh really asking about what happens next. It was under the Progressive government that the Regent deal appeared to be picking up speed. But when the government changed, everything appeared to slow down. Leader of the opposition, the Honourable Roy McTaggart.
What we have never heard is what was the cost going to be. The project is dead. We accept that. But we have been trying for well over a year to get a figure from government. How could it go from $670 million to $2 billion in just a couple of years? It seems impossible. For crying out loud, tell us what the number was. Why was it going to be so expensive?
In response, the Minister for Sustainability and Resiliency said she was not able to divulge the cost. But the government is planning to go forward with a new effort to find an affordable, sustainable option for the islands.
I will not provide yet another estimated time frame for the completion of Ponciana Rehabilitation Center, as that remains beyond my control and the remit of my ministerial team.
Ongoing delays for Cayman's long-awaited long-term mental health facility continue, with the certificate of occupancy still not being issued and the project remaining with Public Works.
There is a plethora of problems for what I have been advised that has been found in hindsight, and they're trying to rectify that before we can safely and being responsible put patients in that facility.
Fielding a parliamentary question in the House Wednesday, Health Minister the Honourable Sabrina Turner told MPs that she would not provide a timeline for the grand opening of the facility, as it has yet to be handed over to her ministry.
What I can say, Mr. Speaker, is that my ministerial team was informed that on Monday, July 22nd, the Department of Planning issued a special permission to occupy SPO for three buildings within Ponciana. These are the administration building, the cafeteria, and activity center. While I appreciate that this is not the update that we would have had hoped for, this is a step in the right direction, Mr. Speaker.
Minister Turner says the 22 Poinciana employees will now start prepping the facility to accept clients. Once the building approvals have been granted for the residential sections of the facility, phase two will focus on the repatriation and admission of residents. Ms. Turner says for Caymanians being treated overseas, arrangements will be made for them to be moved back to Cayman once the facility is up and running. Another round of drafts for Cayman's anti-sexual harassment bill.
This anti-sexual harassment bill has gone through multiple rounds of public consultation and stakeholder review since Cabinet initially approved the issuance of the draft and instructions, which was back in 2022. Following the public consultation that took place in 2023, the draft anti-sexual harassment bill 2023 was completed and submitted to the Office of the Premier in October 2023.
Minister responsible for gender affairs, the Honourable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes, told MPs the bill was being considered in caucus back in April, with the GAU asked to, quote, explore additional options for reporting sexual harassment cases. Once that is done, the minister says the bill will head back to Cabinet for consideration.
While I was a parliamentary secretary, this particular draft bill was something that I was passionate about. It's something that the youth parliamentarians worked very studiously on, and I wanted to ensure that our young people felt that their voices were heard, as well as being a female, being a mother. It's certainly something that I would be very proud to get to the finish line as the minister responsible for gender affairs.
The update was given in answer to a parliamentary question on Wednesday. Cayman will be rolling out the red carpet next week.
Parliament will be hosting an official visit next week by the Right Honourable Sir Lindsay Hoyle MP, the Speaker of the House of Commons in the United Kingdom. This visit marks the first occasion that a Speaker of the UK Parliament has made an official visit to the Cayman Islands.
Sir Alden McLaughlin in Parliament today, he says the visit is a testament to the importance Sir Lindsay places on the overseas territories. To mark the occasion, a special meeting of the House will be convened next Thursday, the 1st of August, at 10 a.m.
I look forward to welcoming Sir Lindsay to the Cayman Islands and to showcasing our rich culture and history for him. I look forward to this special meeting next week and hope that you will extend a warm welcome to him as well. His visit highlights you and your work. It highlights our Parliament, our government, and our country. It is a unique opportunity to participate in this great relationship that we are honored to share with the United Kingdom Parliament.
Sir Lindsay is the 158th Speaker of the House of Commons. We will be carrying the proceedings live on Breeze 105.3 FM. There is an update and extension to the 2024 National Gun Amnesty. Radio Cayman's Felicia Rankin-Sullins has more.
The National Gun Amnesty began on the 1st of July 2024 and was originally intended to conclude at the end of the month. But police say with the disruption caused by the passing of Hurricane Beryl, they have decided to extend the gun amnesty until Sunday, August 11th. Police add that so far, two firearms along with a significant amount of ammunition and two spare guns with additional spares have been handed in to police.
I would heavily, heavily encourage anyone that knows someone, or if you have a firearm, or ammunition, or a bulletproof vest, to turn them in as soon as you can.
Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Joey Hugh, encouraged the public to take advantage of the gun amnesty in Parliament. While on the topic of the Firearms Amendment Bill, Mr. Hugh lamented over how gun violence has become a very real fear in the Cayman Islands.
Today, our people are afraid to go out to public events, Mr. Speaker. Persons have concerns, as of recently, just going to football games. You know, one of the government's own celebrations up at Pedro's Castle the other day, I had an elderly constituent call me and ask me if I think that it would be okay for them to go there, if they would be safe.
You can call 936-8026 to make arrangements for handing in guns, ammunition, and other weapons, or to find out more. I'm Felicia Rankin-Sollins.
Thank you, Felicia. That is your latest local news. I'm April Cummings.